crawl. Virgil definitely wasn't what he seemed. I don't think so. Caleb cleared his throat. Virgil glanced over at him and something strange passed between them. When he turned his attention back to Nick, his look was guarded and cold.
Nice to meet you, Nick.
How do you know my name? Virgil didn't answer.
I better get back. I have night court in an hour and don't want to miss it. My first case is a doozy. Some guy beat up another on Bourbon with a hot dog before he tried to kill his victim by drowning him in a puddle.
He literally vanished. Bubba turned around in the seat to stare at Caleb.
Interesting friend you got there.
You have no idea. Mark scratched at his ear.
We need to let Tabitha and crew know how to fight him.
Madog pulled his phone out and pressed the auto dial for his brother.
I'm on it.
Bubba pulled out of the parking space and headed back to the store.
All right. We have half the equation. We know we can turn them human again, but the question is, how are so many getting their hands on the game?
Mark shook his head.
Someone else has to be disseminating it.
Nick scowled at the unfamiliar word.
Disse-what?
Disseminating, Mark repeated.
It means distributing it.
Then why didn't you say that? Mark looked at Bubba. Remind me to get him a word of the day calendar. And he pinned Nick with a shaming stare over the back of the seat.
You need to up your vocabulary, boy. You can't walk around letting people think you're stupid. Expand your horizons. Besides, it's fun to call people names they have to look up to realize they've been insulted.
Bubba laughed.
Yeah, that's a twofer there. You get away with it, and then they're twice as mad when they realize how bad you really insulted them. Especially if they mistake it for a compliment when you say it and thank you for it.
And, Caleb jumped in, those insults keep you from getting grounded by your mom. You know, they all had very valid points.
And best of all, it'll help you with your SATs,
Madog said as he hung up the phone. He would think of that. He looked at Mark.
Eric and the zoo crew are heading to the store for supplies. Do y'all have enough stun guns for them?
Bubba bristled as if Madog had insulted him.
Does a bear defecate rurally? What kind of question is that for someone who owns the biggest gun store in Orleans? Of course I got plenty. I got enough tasers to light up New York City and Boston just for giggles.
Good. 'Cause Nick had a feeling they might be needing them. Ambrose grabbed the bookcase and slammed it to the ground, spilling the ancient books he'd carefully collected across the floor of his Stygian office. It probably destroyed a few of them, but at this point, he really didn't care. Rage burned through him with the power of a thousand suns, so raw and potent that he could taste it.
Why can't I stop it?
He snarled. Why, with all the powers he'd mastered, all the elements he controlled, couldn't he prevent a mere 14-year-old boy from being an idiot? No matter what he did, certain events kept unfolding. And he wanted blood. He felt a calm, soothing hand on his cheek, covering his bow and arrow mark that she'd given him. More beautiful than any other, Artemis, goddess of the hunt, put all women to shame. Her long red hair flowed to her tiny waist, which was accentuated by the white Grecian gown she wore.
Shh, you shouldn't work yourself up to such a frizzy.
His anger tripled.
The word is frenzy,
he corrected. Because of the differences between the English he spoke and her native ancient Greek, she constantly screwed up sayings and colloquialisms.
What are you doing here, Artemis?
He demanded.
I'm trying to calm you down, love. You shouldn't do this to yourself. It pains me to see you suffer like this.
And that dark power inside him wanted to strike out at her and make her beg for his mercy. It was an all-demanding power that was getting harder and harder to fight. Soon there would be no way back from it. It would consume him, and he would become his father. A mindless killing machine that lacked all compassion and humanity. A machine that wanted to end everything, kill everyone. Ambrose stared at the wall, where he saw himself as a boy. Nick O'Shea had no idea how the random small decisions he was making right now would turn him into the beast Ambrose had become. I have to save myself.
More than that, he had to save the ones he loved before it was too late. But how? God, how could I have been so stupid, even at 14? It was so hard to look back and see the faces of his friends and loved ones, especially since he knew what would become of them if he didn't alter history. It cut so deep that it alone was almost enough to make him insane. How do I stop it? Ambrose turned to Artemis. He hated her. She, like Acheron, had played a major role in turning him into the Malachi.
No, Nick. You did that to yourself.
But it was so much easier to blame them. They had made it so easy for him to make the wrong decisions, decisions he was now trying to unmake before he lost the ability to care. Sighing in frustration, he met Artemis's gaze. The gaze of the woman who'd brought him back from the dead and unleashed his powers. Powers he was now trying to unlock earlier in his life. Had he possessed some of them as a kid, he could have saved the ones who were most important to him. He could have saved his mom. Nick flinched as he forced that memory away and turned his thoughts to something he'd said to himself earlier. Who is Nakota? Artemis gave him a blank stare.
Never heard of him.
Her, Artie. It's a girl.
One of her perfect brows shot up as jealousy darkened her green eyes.
What kind of girl?
I don't know. Nick knows her.
You are Nick. Her tone was testy.
Exactly. How can I not know who she is?
How could he not have seen her as he looked back? For some reason, she was a complete ghost to him. No matter what power he used, he couldn't find this piece of his past. Even with certain aspects altered, he should still be able to hone in on her. Yet he couldn't.
Why?
Artemis shrugged her thin shoulders.
You forgot her. It happens. You were human once.
But he wasn't human now. Now he was the type of creature he and Tabitha had once hunted and put down like a rabid animal. More than that, he was hungry. Starving. Artemis took a chance by being here with him. Every time he fed from her blood, he grew stronger and deadlier. It was getting harder and harder not to kill her with his powers and absorb her godhood. Harder to not destroy everyone and everything. I won't do it.
Yes, you will. In time. You can't change what you are. Fight all you want. In the end, you are what you were born to be, and nothing will ever change that.
But he refused to believe it. He stared at himself on the wall as the younger him innocently rode in the back of Bubba's SUV toward a destiny that had been carved in blood onto his heart.
Come on, Nick. Don't let us down. I need you to be strong, kid. Smart.
Most of all, he needed himself not to make the same mistakes. Some things, such as meeting Simi while he was young, were already changed.
But others...
Nick ground his teeth as he saw the future as clearly as he saw his past.
Carnarsus, the final battle where he would command his father's army, was coming. And when it did, if he didn't change the past, he would destroy the rest of the people he loved. All of them.
Chapter 14. Nick got out of the SUV in front of Bubba's store and checked the time on his cell phone.
Ooh, he was cutting it close. So much for food.
Hey, guys, I need to be heading out to my mom's club before I get grounded.
Again.
Mark, who was standing on the sidewalk, shot his head up in a gesture reminiscent of a spooked deer.
Hey, Bub, you catch a whiff of that?
What, had someone ripped one in the car? Nick was just about to blame Caleb when Bubba froze. Two heartbeats later, he tossed keys at Nick.
Kids, get in the store now!
He started to ask them what was up when he saw something that left him stunned. Zombies. Not like the ones who were his converted classmates. These were the real thing. Flesh rotting, bad smelling, limb losing, eye jelly oozing zombies. And they were coming at them with the speed a puma would envy. Madag let out a yelp as he ran to the door. Nick and Caleb followed while Bubba and Mark pulled out two baseball bats from under the seats of the SUV in an act that strangely reminded him of Mary Poppins and her bag of goodies. Simi came out of the SUV and acted like she was going to head for the zombies until Bubba caught her arm.
Get inside with the boys, Simi.
She actually pouted. Nick could tell she wanted to argue, but with a curt nod, she ran to them. Bubba cursed.
Tell me again why I put the flamethrower up in the store,
he asked Mark. Mark hefted his bat over his shoulder.
I'm pretty sure the cops had something to do with that.
Bubba popped the first zombie to reach him in the head with his bat.
Well, next time I decide to do something so stupid, remind me it's better to be in jail than dead.
Hurry, Nick, Madag pushed up against him as Nick fumbled with the keys and lock. Nick ground his teeth. It was hard to do this with only one hand.
I'm trying. Dang, Bubba, how many keys you got on this ring anyway?
He had already tried a dozen, and not a one worked. He only had 10 more to go.
It's the one with the green rubber piece around it.
Bubba knocked the head from the zombie closest to him.
Green.
Strike two.
Rubber.
Strike three.
Peace.
Caleb pulled the keys out of his hand so that he could open the door.
They're getting through, Nick. We gotta hurry.
I knew I should have left that duck urine on, Mark snapped. That'll teach me to bathe when I know better.
Nick could feel the putrid breath of the zombies on his neck when he finally slung open the door and fell into the store. Simi ran inside. Madag started in, then cried out as one of the zombies grabbed him and yanked him back toward the street. Caleb had to force himself not to expose his powers and use them as he fought the zombies off and let the other two into the store. He could feel the stank of dark magic. It permeated even the air he was breathing. Whoever controlled the zombies was a force to be reckoned with, an ancient force. Not as old as him, by any means, but still someone comfortable with their powers who knew them intimately. He'd fought it earlier and had driven the source back to take control of the students. This time, the Bokor had reinforced his or her strength. And because these zombies had no living force or will of their own, they were far more dangerous than the students had been. Unlike the students, they had no attachment to life anymore, no lingering compassion or reason. They were evil souls summoned into the bodies of the dead. This was the blackest of magic, the kind that not even he dealt with. Only a true dark spirit, like the Malachi, could summon an army this size and control it. They were mindless killing machines. Kind of like the Karanti, though Caleb had to give Simi credit. Unlike the others of her species he'd known in the past, she was holding her human guise and not breaking it to chow down on the zombies. Someone had trained her well. Growling low in his throat, he hit the zombie holding Madag. The zombie's skull broke, leaving its mandible to hang from a strip of tendon as some kind of cold green ooze slimed his hand. It felt like two-day-old snot.
Oh, gross!
Caleb wiped his hand against his shirt.
Zombie goo.
Ooh, Simi breathed. I wonder if it tastes like chicken. What do you think?
Caleb scowled.
I think I'm never eating guacamole again as long as I live.
Ignoring them, Nick beat the other zombie back until he was able, with Simi's help, to shove Madag into the store.
Hey!
Caleb snapped as he realized Nick was about to lock him on the outside with their attackers. He pushed the door open and glared at him.
No man left behind.
Nick scoffed.
This ain't the army, boy. It's every man for himself. Fall behind, get eaten.
I'll remember that the next time you're the one on the outside and I'm the one in the store.
Nick flashed an evil grin at him.
Yeah, but then the rules will change.
He grabbed the door as another zombie tried to open it.
God, no.
What?
Caleb asked.
You left the keys outside.
Caleb groaned at his stupidity, then helped Nick hold the door closed as more zombies swarmed.
What kind of idiot doesn't have one of those flipper lock things on their door?
Nick gave him a duh stare.
Bubba? 'Cause all someone has to do is break the glass, and then they can switch it open and be inside the store. You know Bubba's code, always use keys, which was why he had so many on his key ring.
Caleb felt his muscles bulge as he held the door tight while the zombies tried to pull it open.
I swear, Nick, I should have thrown you to him. After all, I don't have to outrun the zombies, I just have to outrun you.
That's cold, dude.
Maybe.
But if the zombies got in, he was gonna sick Simi and her barbecue sauce on them. Humans be damned. Stand back, Madug said. Nick looked over his shoulder to see Madug with a rocket launcher. Oh, no way. Where on earth had he found that? Was it loaded? What a stupid question. It was in Bubba's store. Of course it was loaded and functional, and probably modified to take down half the city block whenever it was fired. Nick widened his eyes. That's not what I think it is it? Madug shrugged. Yeah, I don't know, but I think you better duck. They'd barely moved before Madug fired at the zombies outside. The rocket exploded in the door, sending glass and zombie parts everywhere. Green and red ooze streaked through the night. Simi actually licked her lips, as if dying for a taste of it. Nick gaped as more zombies headed for them. Dude, for a genius, that was really stupid. Now we have no door, and I could be wrong, but they look to be multiplying. They heard the zombie converts they'd locked in the hidden room earlier yelling for release. Well, some were. Others were in the room crying for their mamas. Meanwhile, Bubba and Mark were outside, whooping and hollering in all their glory as they fought off the undead. Nick ran to the back to get the axe. I really need my arm functional again. Or better yet, a genetic implant that left him with one arm as a chainsaw, like Ash in Army of Darkness. Now that he could definitely use right now. Then again, he'd settle for both arms working. A chill went through him as an image flashed in his mind of him being attacked by, not a raven, but the raven had been there, watching like a freaked-out guardian, and Nick's arm had been whole and working. The images were in the back of his mind, but he couldn't focus on any one of them in particular, just fleeting glimpses that were gone as fast as they'd appeared. Had it been a dream? But the memory felt real. Ye freaking haw! Bubba shouted, running back to Madug and Caleb. Nick looked to see Bubba stunning the zombies with the cattle prod before he beat them with his bat. The man was having way too much fun, while Nick was still worried about dying. The zombies closed in. Nick swallowed his fear and pulled Simi behind him to protect her. Why hasn't one of the neighbors complained about this? Where are the cops when you need them? Caleb snorted. Probably eating beignets. As the old saying goes, when seconds count, the police are just minutes away. And it was looking like a killing field out there as panic took hold of Nick. Bubba and Mark were driving them back like psycho ninjas, but even so, the sheer number of the zombies was going to overwhelm them sooner or later. Terrified, Nick watched as more came from the shadows. These seemed to be created and sent in not for kidnapping. These were here to murder. Nick kept Simi from running around him to join the fray. She might be tall, but she'd be no match for the zombies, who continued coming while Madug tried to reload the rocket launcher with another round. He wasn't going to be satisfied until he blew all of them away. Nick saw a flash of silver. Afraid it was more undead reinforcements, he kicked back a zombie, then froze as he recognized what was out there in the night. Ash and Kirian. And as they joined the fight, he realized another thing. They were the ones who really fought like ninjas. Ash with a staff and Kirian with a sword. It was incredible. While Bubba and Mark were fierce, Kirian's moves were so graceful. They were like a violent ballet as he twirled, sliced one zombie, and then pivoted to catch another. Nick kept waiting for Ash to use his powers, but for some reason, he didn't. He merely used his staff to bash and deflect the zombies. Then he remembered what Ash had said. No doubt he was trying to remain incognito while there were witnesses around. Though that didn't make sense if Ash could mind wipe everyone. Could it be he simply enjoyed the fight like Bubba and Mark? Between them and Bubba and Mark, the zombies didn't stand a chance. In only a few minutes, there were green bodies of ooh littering the street. Kirian looked at Ash. Too bad they don't disintegrate into dust, huh? I have to say, I much prefer the monsters who clean up after themselves. Ash laughed. Bubba and Mark surveyed the damage. I wonder why no one called the police about the rocket launcher. God knows my neighbors usually report it if I so much as fart in my backyard. Ash planted the end of his staff into the ground.
Good question.
Kirian pressed a button on his sword and compacted it down to the hilt. He slid it into his pocket.
I have a better one. How are we going to clean up this mess?
Nick scoffed. Nah, mine's even better. How do you hide a chainsaw in your locker at school? They all stared at him. Nick gestured to the zombies that lay in pieces on the street. I'm thinking they're not gonna stop, and while the school has a strict no-weapons policy, I don't think the plastic sporks in the cafeteria are gonna do much to combat them. I need protection, man. Serious protection. His gaze went to Modug, who was still cradling the rocket launcher. Okay, maybe not that serious, but still. Mark wiped the sweat off his brow. It's like a friggin' zombie apocalypse. I always knew we'd have one in my lifetime. Everybody but Bubba told me I was crazy. Well, look, who's crazy now? Nick had to bite his tongue to keep from saying it was still Mark who was crazy. Caleb ignored Nick as he felt something peculiar in the air. His gaze went to the two newcomers. He didn't know them, but he could feel their powers. Like him and Simi, they weren't human either. If he didn't know better, he'd swear the tallest one was a god. And as that being turned his head to Caleb, he was sure of it. The other, he was a powerful warrior, a servant of the goddess Artemis, one of a long line of ancient protectors who'd sold their souls to keep mankind safe from creatures like him. Oh yeah, any other time and the two of them would be going at it like two women over the last gown left in their size at a bridal sale. Hey, Nick said, looking around. Where's Simi? Anyone seen where she went? Before anyone could answer, another wave of zombies appeared out of the darkness. These were even faster and uglier. Ash looked at Bubba.
Get everyone out of here.
And go where?
My house, Kirian said. It's on First Ave. Nick knows the way. I'll have someone there to let you in.
As they ran for the SUV, Nick saw Simi coming out of the store. She joined them and plopped down in the seat beside him. Where'd you go?
I'd tell you, but then I'd have to eat you, and since the Simi likes Nick, she don't want to hurt him.
She grinned.
Okay.
Modug dialed his phone as everyone belted themselves in.
I can't get Eric. You don't think anything's happened to him, do you?
He'll be all right, Bubba assured him. Tabitha might be a little out there. Boy, wasn't that the kettle calling the pot black. But she's good in a fight. They can take anything the zombie world throws at them. Vampires, too.
Oh, wait!
Nick panicked as he remembered his mom. I'm supposed to be at my mom's club. She told me if I wasn't there by now, she'd come find me.
And become a zombie hostage, Mark said. I've seen it before, countless times. The well-meaning, hapless woman out to save her kid, taken and eaten.
Bubba scoffed.
In the movies, Mark.
Yeah, well, sometimes that happens in real life, too, and this is definitely a time for it to happen, because that'd be just our luck. They take her, and we all die trying to save her because she did something stupid.
Bubba turned his SUV around.
Let's go get her, because Mark is right.
Nick checked the time.
She still has 4 hours of work left.
Mark held up a gun.
It's all right. We'll get her one way or another.
Nick was horrified at the mere suggestion of pulling a gun on his mom. You can't shoot my mom, Mark. Are you out of your mind?
I'm not gonna shoot her. Calm down. I'm just gonna trank her a little.
Before Nick could protest, Bubba had the SUV parked.
Mark, you and the kids stay here.
Nick shook his head.
It's my mom. I'm coming.
Bubba started to protest, then must have thought better of it.
We don't have any time to waste. Come on.
Nick led him to the back door of the club and knocked until John answered it. The bouncer shook his head.
Boy, your mama is going to kill you.
Where is she?
Green room.
Nick led Bubba down the narrow hallway until he got to the dressing room. He knocked on the door and waited. His mom opened it. Her hair was teased out and her makeup thick, while she was dressed in her bathrobe. The look on her face made his stomach head south.
What have you got to say for yourself, Nick O'Shea?
That I was attacked by zombies?
She rolled her eyes.
Don't hand me that ridiculous story.
No, Ma, I swear, really.
But she wasn't about to believe him.
Do you know what time it is? Obviously time for me to get grounded again.
He let out a deep sigh. Some days it really didn't pay to be honest. She narrowed her gaze at him.
That's right. I'm going to ground you until your grandchildren are old.
Bubba stepped forward, cutting her off.
Ma'am, we do have a situation and we need for you to come with us.
She furrowed her brow as she looked at Bubba like he was crazy.
I can't leave. I have another set in a few minutes.
With all due respect, ma'am, the zombies won't care and they won't wait.
Oh, good grief, Bubba. Would you stop filling my boy's head full of all that garbage? You've already got him fully convinced of everything but the Tooth Fairy, and I'm waiting for him to come home with wings on, telling me that even it's real.
She grabbed Nick's good arm.
Get in here and sit in the corner until I decide how much restriction I'm giving you. But, Mom, don't you but Mom me.
Nick looked at Bubba as a wave of helplessness consumed him. Why would he have thought for 1 minute his mother would listen? Not like she made a habit out of it. Bubba shrugged, and before Nick could stop him, he shot her.
Bubba!
His mom let out a sharp cry before she staggered back. Bubba scooped her up in his arms as she swooned.
Dang, Nick, your mama's a tiny little thing. Weird. When she's awake, you forget she don't weigh nothing at all.
It's 'cause she's so fierce.
He'd seen her stand toe-to-toe with his father, who could dwarf a mountain and never blink or back down.
She's going to kill us, you know that?
Bubba ignored him as he carried her back toward the entrance. John scowled at them as they walked past.
What's going on?
She fainted,
he and Bubba said simultaneously.
We're taking her to the doctor,
Nick lied as he brushed past John. He hated that they had to say that, but John would never believe the truth, and it'd probably get her fired.
Boss ain't gonna like this, not a bit.
Nick shrugged.
Can't help that she got sick. It happens.
He ran ahead to get the car door for Bubba so that he could put his mom in as quickly as possible. He fastened her seatbelt before he took a seat next to her while Bubba got back in the front. Simi frowned.
She picked a fine time to take a nap. Was she really sleepy?
Before Nick could answer, Bubba's phone started ringing. Bubba pulled away from the curb before he answered it.
Yellow.
A dark cloud came over his features as if something bad had happened. Nick's stomach tightened to the point that he half expected a diamond to form. What was going on now?
God, couldn't they catch a break tonight?
At least my mom's safe. Bubba looked in the rearview mirror at Modug, who visibly paled.
What?
Modug asked, his voice filled with the same dread Nick felt.
What happened?
Yeah.
Bubba continued, ignoring Modug's question.
I'll tell him. Is there anything we can do?
He paused as he listened, and they all waited with bated breath.
I'll see you there.
He hung up. Nick leaned forward in his seat.
What happened?
Bubba sighed before he answered.
We have another situation.
Great. Just great. At this point, they really should be selling tickets for pay-per-view.
That was Eric, Modug,
Bubba said. Modug swallowed as fear darkened his blue eyes.
They get attacked by the zombies?
Yeah, but they fought them off.
Modug let out an audible sound of relief.
Then why you look so upset?
Eric went to your house and the front door was standing wide open.
Nick gasped in alarm. Modug's features turned to stone as his entire face blanched.
And?
He said it was a real bad scene.
Tears gathered in Modug's eyes as he glanced around at all their faces.
My mom and Ian?
No sign of them. But Eric said he's calling the police right now to report it.
Nick's stomach tightened as he saw the raw agony in Modug's eyes.
Dude, I'm so sorry.
Modug didn't seem to hear him as he hung his head in his hands.
It's all my fault. All of this. Oh, God. I just wanted them to stop picking on me. That's all I wanted. I didn't mean for anyone to get hurt. I didn't. Now my mom and brother are gone. Probably eaten. What have I done? What have I done?
Nick couldn't imagine how bad it must hurt to know he
He might have caused the death of someone he loved. Surely, there was no worse pain in the world. Madog's agony tore through him and choked him up. He wished he knew what to say, but words wouldn't come. Simi sat forward and patted Madog on the back.
I'm sorry, little human. The Simi lost her mama too when she was little, but maybe your mama okay. She might be looking for you.
Madog turned and hugged her. Simi's eyes widened before she hugged him back.
It okay. You'll see. Just when you think nothing get better, it always does. Trust me. My Akri says that tragedy and adversity are the stones we sharpen our swords against so that we can fight new battles. This is just a minor skirmish, and you'll be back in the fight. You'll see.
Madog nodded, but as he pulled back, Nick saw the tears he was trying to hide. He lifted his glasses and swiped at his eyes.
I need to go to my house.
Bubba nodded as he headed that way. They were all subdued the entire time it took them to reach Madog's quiet upper-class neighborhood. On the outside, everything appeared calm and peaceful, just another night. But there was nothing normal about any of this. Nick's gaze went to his mother's unconscious form. She was going to be so angry at him when she woke up. But better that than she'd be like Madog's mom and be taken from him. He'd kill anyone who touched her, and that wasn't an idle threat. He knew he had it in him. After all, he was his father's son. As they approached Madog's house, the police were everywhere. Lights flashed through the darkness as spotlights lit the entire yard. Yellow tape cordoned off the yard, along with police barricades that had been set up to keep people back while they investigated the mess. Caleb let out a low whistle as they left the SUV.
Anyone else getting tired of seeing the cops camped out?
Nick didn't comment, but he couldn't agree more.
Simi, would you mind staying in the car and keeping an eye on my mom?
Sure.
Tabitha came forward to meet them as they stayed back behind the police line. Her face grim, she pulled Madog to her.
I'm so sorry, little guy.
Where's Eric?
Madog asked.
He's inside with your dad.
Madog left her to go to them. Bubba looked at Tabitha.
What happened?
She raked a hand through her hair. She glanced around the yard of police conducting interviews.
There was a really bad fight in the house. Madog's room was ransacked and the kitchen's all bloody. The police think that someone broke in and killed their mom and Ian. They've called in cadaver dogs to start searching for them.
Nick winced at what she described as a wave of sympathetic pain flooded him. For a moment, he thought he might be sick.
How's Eric doing?
Bubba asked. Tabitha swallowed. He's really messed up over it. He keeps saying that he should have been here to protect them. She sighed. What about Madog?
Mark shook his head.
He's been really quiet. Like, freaky, scary quiet. Like Eric, he's blaming himself. He keeps saying that if he hadn't created the game, none of this would have happened.
Nick met Caleb's gaze.
You feel as bad as I do for them?
Caleb nodded.
I just can't figure this out. Where are all these living zombies coming from?
If Madog only had the one game, surely they're not all coming from that.
Nick scratched the back of his neck. Like Bubba said earlier, someone must have made a copy of it.
Yeah, but doesn't it seem like it's spread a little too fast?
What do you mean?
Caleb narrowed his eyes on the cops.
I think there's something else at play here. Something just doesn't feel right about any of this.
Nick gave him a droll stare. You mean other than the dead zombies who tried to eat us a few minutes ago?
That's my point, Nick. This isn't just a game gone awry. I smell the hand of evil. Real evil.
Nick started to make a snarky comment at the hokiness of his tone and words, but thought better of it. While he still believed Caleb was a head case, in this he might, God forbid, be right. There was something terribly wrong here. Even he could feel it. Wishing he could help Madog and Eric, he glanced over to the crowd of gawkers who'd come to see what was happening.
A tall man in black who stood apart from them caught his eye.
He knew him in an instant, and that recognition slammed into him like a fist in his gullet. Ambrose. Nick watched as the flashing light from the police car highlighted his sinister face. It cast shadows across the planes of his cheeks, making his eyes look inhuman. And I thought my father looked evil. Adarian had nothing on Ambrose. With that thought came a bad feeling that Ambrose might be behind this. Wanting to get to the bottom of it, Nick started toward him. Ambrose turned and his gaze locked with Nick's. In that single heartbeat, Nick swore the man's eyes turned a deep, bloody red that glowed in the darkness. One second, Ambrose was staring at him like he could kill him, and in the next, he was gone. Nick came to a halt as he looked around the yard. No one seemed to have noticed the man who was now missing. What the heck? Caleb came up behind him.
What's wrong?
Did you see... What was he supposed to say? Did you see my crazy uncle, Jason Voorhees? Do you think he could kill someone's mom and brother?
Did I see what?
Nick shook his head. Never mind. It must have been a shadow. Caleb scowled at him.
You all right? You look kind of pale.
Nick wasn't sure anymore. Suddenly he felt dizzy and weird. For a second he thought he might be sick until he felt a soft hand on his shoulder. Turning his head, he saw Nakota behind him. Her pale face was gorgeous, and she was the best thing he'd seen all day.
What are you doing here, Nick?
He'd never been happier to see anyone in his life. Before he could think better of it, he turned and hugged her close. Nakota froze at the unexpected contact. Never in her life had anyone held her like this. Never had they greeted her as if they were thrilled to see her. A wave of foreign emotion ripped through her entire body. What was it? And it wasn't just the emotion. It was the sensation of his arm around her, of his breath falling against her cheek and the warm smell of his hair. It made her entire body hum and sing and gave her an insane desire to bury her hand in his soft hair. Most of all, it sent a wave of chills over her.
Nick?
Nick couldn't answer as he let the heat of her body comfort his ragged emotions. How strange that in a night of chaos, she seemed to ground him.
I'm sorry.
He whispered, before he let go and stepped back.
I didn't mean to assault you. It's just been a really, really bad night, and I'm glad to see a friendly face.
Nakota trembled as he put his hand on her cheek.
He's my enemy.
A creature she was sworn to kill, but looking into those blue eyes, she didn't see a monster. She saw something that scared and shocked her to her core.
Don't let him charm you. It's not real. It's his powers, nothing more. He is evil to the core of his soul.
But her compulsion toward him didn't feel like it was coming from him. It felt like it was radiating from deep inside her. It was as if some part of her just wanted to be closer to him. How utterly peculiar. Unable to stand it, she pulled his hand away from her face and put enough distance between them that she could think straight.
You didn't answer my question.
He gestured over his shoulder toward the house.
We brought Modug home. What about you? What are you doing here? I live nearby, she lied.
She'd been summoned here by a violent wave of magic. It was like Nick's powers on steroids. If she didn't know better, she'd say it was him at his full strength. But he was still weak, still human. And what she'd sensed had been mature and ready to take lives.
I saw the police and came to investigate, she said.
You shouldn't be out here, it's dangerous.
She frowned at him.
How do you mean?
Nick glanced over his shoulder to where Caleb was staring at them with an odd look on his face.
There are things out here.
Don't say zombie, moron. She'll think you're a loon.
It's just a bad scene, full moon and all. You should go home where it's safe.
Are you?
She narrowed her eyes, as if searching for a word.
Trying to protect me?
Oh, he knew that tone. It was dangerous. I'm not being a male chauvinist. I know a woman is just as capable of taking care of herself as a man, but there are things... I'm sure your parents are worried about you, and... You are trying to protect me.
A broad smile curled her lips and did the strangest thing to his stomach.
That's so sweet.
Instead of slapping him, she actually kissed his cheek.
Nick's entire body erupted the moment her lips touched his flesh. Now he felt like the one in danger. For the first time in his life, he didn't mind being called sweet. Not if it meant he got kissed with it. Of course, on the lips would have been infinitely better than the cheek, but so long as she wasn't slapping him and calling him an insult, he wasn't arguing with the location. When she pulled back, her eyes sparkled in the low light.
Thank you for caring.
My pleasure.
Idiot, what a stupid thing to say.
But she didn't seem to notice. All right. I better go. You watch yourself.
You too.
He watched as she withdrew, and he took a second to savor her scent that lingered around him. She smelled all womanly and sweet, and all he wanted to do was follow her home.
Caleb snapped his fingers in front of his nose. Dude, she's not what you think.
He turned his head toward Caleb.
What are you talking about?
You need to stay away from her, Nick, trust me. Girls ain't nothing but trouble.
Yeah, but it was the only kind of trouble he wanted to launch himself into head first and wallow there until he was pruny from it.
However, he wasn't about to admit any of that to Caleb, lest he revert to kindergarten and start telling her that Nick had a crush on her.
Oh, the humiliation of that.
She's all right.
Caleb's eyes flashed with deep sincerity.
No, she's not. You need to listen to me, kid. That girl is your death.
Nick blew off his sinister Vincent Price tone.
You're an idiot.
He headed back to the car where his mom was. But as he reached it, an unbidden image went through his head. It was Nakota, only she wasn't the girl he knew who made him laugh and who kissed him on his cheek. She was something else entirely. Dressed in armor, she looked like an ancient warrior, complete with a helmet and shield. And a sword she was driving straight through his heart. Chapter 15.
Madhug was alone in his room, picking up some of the mess there and crying as he realized how badly he'd screwed up. It wasn't supposed to be like this. How could trying to protect himself have turned out so badly? How? He'd accidentally ruined so many lives. I'm so worthless. Brian was going to prison. Classmates had died. Scott's arm would be permanently disfigured. And now his mom and brother were probably dead too. Eaten by the very things he'd created.
I should just throw myself under a bus. I'm not even worth the cost of a bullet.
Suddenly, he heard whispering.
At first, he thought it might be the police outside the door with his dad again, but it wasn't. It seemed to be in his ears, like it was coming from his own brain.
Lifting his head, he tried to locate the source, but he saw nothing except the police lights flashing from outside through the slats of his closed blinds.
Madhug!
Filled with panic, his mother's voice was distinct, undeniable.
Mom?
She didn't answer. Great, I'm hallucinating. I've now lost even my sanity. A light mist appeared outside his bedroom window. It dove, and then formed a thin string that seeped up from his sill. In slow motion, it crawled along his desk like a creepy caterpillar, until it gathered into a clump. Twirling and dancing, that clump solidified into an old, hideous, small woman who pointed an accusatory finger at him.
You are killing your mother and brother.
An image of them screaming appeared beside the miniature ghost. Madhug put his hands over his ears.
Shut up! Don't hurt them!
The old crone stepped closer to him as the image of his mother and brother faded.
Do you want to save them?
What kind of stupid question was that?
Of course I do!
Then you need to come to me.
He hesitated.
You're in my room. I'm already with you.
Was she completely stupid?
Not here, you
imbecile. I need you with me. What was he supposed to do? Guess randomly out of the millions of different locations in the greater New Orleans area? Where are you?
The St. Louis Cemetery.
Oh, yeah, right. He wasn't brain damaged enough to think it'd be that easy to get his mom back. If he showed up there, he'd have no leverage, and the old ghost woman could do what she wanted with both him and his mom. Even Ian. You'll kill me if I do that. The small woman laughed evilly.
I'll kill them if you don't.
Madog wanted to slam his hand down on the table and squash her like a roach, but he knew it would only hurt him if he tried. She wasn't real, just a ghost image with no real form or body.
Why are you doing this to me? You're the one meddling with things you shouldn't have. Didn't you know that when you tamper with human will, dreadful things happen?
I wasn't trying to hurt anyone. That was never my intent. I just wanted them to leave me alone. The woman shrugged.
Intentions don't matter. It's the end result. We're all judged by evil in the name of good is still evil. And when you dance with the devil, you seldom get to pick the tune.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means the countdown on their lives is speeding up, and the longer you delay, the more likely they are to die.
Don't hurt them, I'm coming.
You better be alone, mon petit, and bring your zombie hunter game program, or else. You have 30 minutes to get here.
She faded into nothing. Madog bit his lip as he cracked open the blinds to see his yard crawling with police. How could he get to the cemetery without being seen or followed? There was no way he could walk there in that amount of time. What was he going to do? Starting to sweat, he went down the back stairs that led to the kitchen. He froze as he saw his brother and crew with Bubba, Mark, Nick, and Simi.
I'll leave Mark here, Bubba said to Eric. He can help out while I go drop Charisse and Nick at Carrion's. Then I'll be back.
Eric nodded. Just be careful.
Will do.
Madog slid out the back door while they were facing away from him and made his way through the shadows to the shed where his dad kept the lawnmower. It was also where Eric's old Honda scooter was kept. He'd always called it the Nerdmobile, and now he was going to be forced to ride on it.
Gah, how awful.
But for his mom's life, he was willing to look like a total goober. He opened the door carefully so it wouldn't squeak and draw attention to him, then slipped inside the small woodshed. As quietly as he could, he made his way to the scooter and opened the gas cap. Just as he suspected, no gas.
Dang it, Eric. Couldn't you do anything right?
It's all right. You have a 160 IQ. You can think of something. He forced himself to calm down so that he could postulate options. As his gaze danced around the darkened room, an idea formed. Grabbing the hedge clippers, he cut a piece of hose to make a siphon, then drained the riding mower and poured the gas into the scooter. As soon as it was gassed up, he grabbed the keys off the wall hanger, the helmet that was covered in cobwebs, and pushed the scooter away from the house. His heart pounded with every step he made. Any minute he expected to be caught. But luckily, no one saw him. The police were too busy dusting for prints, talking to people, and standing around chatting to notice a kid rolling a bright red scooter across his backyard. Actually, that was a scary thought. How oblivious could the trained experts be? If he didn't need them to be inattentive, it would horrify him, and later, when he looked back on this, he would be horrified. But right now, he kept his thoughts focused on his mom and brother. With a relieved breath, as soon as he was a block away, he got on the scooter and started it. It roared to life and shot down the street at a speed a rusted-out tanker would envy. But at least it was faster than walking. And it would get him to the cemetery in time.
I'm coming, Mom.
He wasn't about to let anything happen to her or even his brother. Ian might make him insane, but Madog was the older brother, and it was his job to protect Ian. Even from brain-eating zombies. Nick paused as a tingle went down his spine, making the hair on the back of his neck stand on end. There was something. He saw an image in his mind of Madog looking really goofy with a red Power Rangers helmet on his head while riding a red scooter, sneaking away from the house. He didn't know where it came from, but it was there as crystal clear as Bubba, who was standing next to him.
I think
Modug's doing something stupid.
Bubba scoffed. And that would be different from normal Hal?
Police, stop! Nick looked over to where two officers had their guns drawn. His jaw went slack as he saw what they were focused on. It wasn't Modug.
It was more zombies.
Nick cursed. The police didn't fire until the first zombie reached a cop and sank its rotted teeth into the officer's head. Nick couldn't breathe as he saw more of them coming. Oh my God!
It was an army of the undead, and they were moving straight at them like a pack of ugly hyenas. Why didn't they stumble like in a Romero flick?
No, they had to be attacked by super zombies.
Leave it to me.
There goes the neighborhood,
Caleb said. Nick shoved at him.
Mark!
Bubba started for the house, but it was too late. More zombies were coming in from the back, and they'd already gone inside where the others were. The house was now completely occupied by their enemies, while civilians ran screaming, only to get overtaken by the zombies.
Nick grabbed Bubba's arm to stop him from going in after Mark.
We have to go! Bubba's features turned to stone.
Don't worry. I've seen that movie, too. You go in to help your friend and they eat you instead. Mark's smart. He can escape. I believe that.
Simi got out of the SUV. The Simi will go get him. You get to safety and I'll take care of them old nasty zombies.
She pulled a bottle of barbecue sauce out of her coffin-shaped purse.
Nick wasn't sure about that either.
Simi.
But she was already halfway across the yard, sauce in hand, and whooping with eager delight.
Bubba shoved Nick into the car by his face. Arm! Watch the arm! Nick shouted as Bubba's grip sent pain all the way through him.
Caleb climbed in beside him as Bubba got in, turned the truck on, and slung it sideways into the street. He didn't even slow down as he plowed through as many zombies as he could hit. They growled and hissed as they tried to grab and hold onto the truck to get to them, but Bubba's swerving sent them flying.
Nick cringed as one took a header into a tree and splotted like a multicolored bug on a windshield.
I'm so glad my mom's not awake for this. She'd skin all of us.
Dang,
Caleb breathed as he crawled over the seat into the front.
How many zombies are there?
Bubba swerved to hit another one. At least Nick hoped that was a zombie and not some poor innocent pedestrian.
You gotta figure there's 300 years of dead in Orleans. While Mark and me have taken out a few dozen over the years, that makes for a lot of zombies.
Nick scowled. But how could one Bokor raise that many? Doesn't it suck juice out of them or something?
Bubba shook his head.
Yes, and blood, unless they've made a pact with someone a lot more powerful.
Someone like a god?
Caleb asked.
Bubba nodded at Caleb.
Yeah, someone like a god.
Nick hissed as a pain shot through his skull. It was so intense it made his nose start to bleed. Bubba snatched his head around.
You okay?
Nick had no idea as he pinched his nose closed.
I feel sick. Real sick.
You throw up in that back seat, boy, and I'll make you lick it up, I swear. I'm still making payments on this thing, and it's hard to get the smell of vomit out of the upholstery.
But it wasn't that kind of sick. Nick's head was spinning with images he couldn't understand. He saw fire and felt an unbelievable anger swelling. It was his, yet not his.
Bubba looked over at Caleb.
He ain't turning into a zombie, is he?
No,
Caleb said, scowling.
But he is turning kind of green. You got a bag or something in case he hurls?
Nick ignored them.
We have to drop off my mom and find Modug.
What? They asked simultaneously. Nick caught Bubba's gaze in the rearview mirror as Bubba looked back at him.
Something bad's about to happen.
Boy, in case it has slipped your oh-so-astute attention, something bad has been happening all day.
Caleb turned around in the seat.
Maybe we should go on then and find Modug first.
No!
Nick looked at his mom, who was already going to be hotter than a nest of hornets flung against a house.
We take care of my mom first. She's my number one priority. I have to make sure she's safe.
And then what?
Caleb asked.
Then we break major zombie... Ah!
Chapter 16. Nick had his head against the glass, watching the road pass by as he struggled to keep from being ill. what was wrong with him.
You're fighting me. Stop, and you won't be sick.
He looked around the car to see if anyone else heard the voice in his head. His mom was still unconscious. Bubba was listening to the radio while Caleb sang along to Iron Man under his breath. And as Nick looked at Caleb, he saw his friend's form change before his eyes. It was like he could see under Caleb's skin, and that Caleb was no longer human. He was
a Deva, a mid-level class of demon, not innately evil. They were soldiers of an older time and place, protectors or messengers for the ancient gods. In the case of Caleb, he was a feared general who is still capable of summoning and commanding legions of demons. FYI, Nick, not all demons are bad. Like people, they're complicated life forms with varying personalities and quirks, filled with complex emotions. Some are malevolent, and some are good. In the case of Caleb, he's your protector. He would die to keep you safe. So before you judge him about being born a species he couldn't help any more than you could help yours, you should know that he stayed in the background as a silent bodyguard who didn't step forward until he was needed to keep you safe. Really, do you think he's enjoyed being in high school with you and the others when he didn't have to be?
Nick saw an image of Caleb with wings, his flaming orange hair long as he stood at the helm of 1,000 demons leading them to battle. His skin dark red, he had yellow eyes like a serpent's, and he fought with the strength of a titan. Nick shook his head.
I'm going crazy.
No. You're becoming aware of who and what you are, of everything around you that has always remained hidden, just as I promised you you would.
Who are you?
Nick asked, silently.
Ambrose. And I'm also here to protect you. Listen to me, Nick, and I'll teach you everything you need to fight the creatures who are going to come for you, the ones who ruin your life if you continue to live without the ability to see them and fight back.
Nick scowled.
I don't understand. Why did you run from me at Modug's?
I wasn't running from you. I was trying to save your friend before the Mortons hurt him. But like you, he didn't listen to me.
Yeah, right. Why don't I believe this?
It's true, Nick. Remember the little girl in the alley, the one who attacked you?
Duh, not like I could forget that Wes Craven-esque encounter anytime soon. Then again, they'd done something to him that he had forgotten. But now, he remembered every single detail. WTF?
I told you, they were called Mortons. They crawled out of their hole, and this time they claimed your friend Modug and his family. They want to use his video game to control the living because the living still possess their souls and their free will. Living zombies are immune to our silk speech and powers of manipulation. We can't control them like we can the dead. If the Mortons can get the game from Modug, they can use it to control you in particular, and they can build an army out of the living to attack the world.
Why me? I don't understand why this is happening and why they'd give two spits about controlling me. I can't even walk across the floor without getting grounded.
Nick, you are key to some of the rawest, most potent powers ever created. The battles for your possession will scar you in ways you won't know until it's too late. If you listen to me, I can save you.
I'm key? Dude, you seriously have me mistaken for someone else.
No, I don't. I, better than anyone else, know exactly how powerful you are and what you can do. And deep inside, you feel those powers too. You've spent your whole life denying them, saying it was Menyara or a sixth sense. It's not a buried sense, it's your birthright. And you have got to embrace it, or you will lose everything that matters to you.
And if I don't believe this crap?
Images of a dark, frightening hole flashed in his mind. He saw himself in the future, alone, bereft, tortured. Most of all, he was inhuman and cruel.
If they can turn you evil, they will be rewarded and you will be ruined, and everyone you love will pay the price. Everyone.
Nick shook his head in an effort to dispel the horrific images. Terror choked him as he feared becoming the monster his father was, of becoming the creature he'd just seen.
I don't want to be evil.
You can't just say it and make it so. It's not that easy.
Of course it is.
My mom tells me all the time that we decide between good and evil. What we are is completely up to us.
And things drive us to make decisions that are beyond our control. Just like your mother. You know how much she hates dancing, and yet there she is every night, right on time, often working double shifts to bring in more money. For you. And you haven't been betrayed, Nick. You don't know what it's like, what it does to you, the scars it leaves that never fade.
Not true. Alan, Mike, and Tyree had all betrayed me.
And you want their blood for it.
I want to bathe in it.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's the evil that's seducing you. The malevolent power that is crawling through your blood, tempting you onto a treacherous path that will cost you everything you love and hold dear. You have to let that anger go before it's too late. Vengeance always turns inward, and it will consume you until nothing's left but an empty hole that nothing can fill.
Nick bristled as he saw that night again, the glee in Alan's eyes as he pulled the trigger. They shot me!
And they will pay. But not by your hand. Trust me, Karma has her own plans for them, and what she has in store is more painful than you could ever dream.
I don't know about that. I have one great imagination, and letting it go is much easier said than done.
Ambrose laughed in his ear.
Believe me, I know.
All of a sudden, Nick saw Ambrose in the car beside him. Translucent, he manifested on the other side of his mother, leaning against the car door as if he really was another passenger. His dark eyes filled with absolute misery. Ambrose reached out and touched Nick's mother's cheek. There was so much anguish on his face and tenderness in his touch that it made Nick's stomach clench. Ambrose touched her as if she were a ghost who'd haunted him for centuries. Most of all, he touched her as if she were unspeakably precious. Someone Ambrose had never thought to see again. Even Ambrose's lip quivered while he brushed his hand through her hair.
You love her,
Nick sent his thoughts to Ambrose. Ambrose nodded, then met his gaze so that Nick could see the sincerity burning in his eyes.
I would do anything to keep her safe. Anything to keep you on the right path.
And it was then Nick knew he could trust him. There was no way to fake that depth of emotion. He meant every word he said. The look on Ambrose's face seared him.
Will you trust me, little brother?
I guess, but only as long as you don't betray me. Ambrose gave a cocky grin.
I'm the last person who would ever do that, Nick. I would sell my soul and give my life to keep you from becoming what I am.
Nick nodded. Then tell me what I need to know.
You're going to have to learn to take control of the zombies.
Nick laughed out loud, which caused Caleb to jump in startled alarm and glare at him. Sorry, Nick said out loud. I didn't mean to scare you. Caleb snorted before he relaxed.
It takes more than you to scare me. Must be amusing in that head of yours, Gaucher. But remember, the rest of us aren't in there with you.
Yeah, only Ambrose seemed to have that power. Nick returned his attention to Ambrose. Car lights shone through his body, making it shimmer in the darkness. Can Caleb not sense you?
Only if I allow it.
And obviously, he wasn't allowing anyone but Nick to see and hear him right now. What are you? He asked Ambrose.
We,
he indicated the two of them,
are the last of a cursed race. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, as it's our prime nature to hurt others. When they're weak and hurting, we swoop in for the kill. But I'm hoping you have enough of your mother in you that you'll learn to curb those impulses and learn to let the things go that I never could.
Nick hopes so, too. I don't want to be anything like a Darian. That eerie red tint returned to Ambrose's eyes. Not that Nick needed a reminder that the creature next to him wasn't human.
Neither did he. And he's not quite the jerk you think he is.
In time, you'll understand him better than you'll want to. And together, if we're lucky, we'll keep you from following in his footsteps. In the meantime, I have to teach you everything I know as quickly as I can.
What's the rush?
Orange flickered in his red eyes like dancing flames.
My time's running out, and soon I won't...
His voice trailed off.
You won't what?
I won't care anymore about anyone or anything. Not even you.
Ambrose took Nick's hand and manifested an ornate gold dagger in his palm. The pommel held an elaborate pattern that looked like a circle of ancient birds spiraling out, and on the cross hilt was a blood-red ruby that seemed to be radiating warmth. Nick frowned at it.
What's this?
The seal of the Malachi. With that dagger, there's nothing you can't kill. Gods, demons, zombies, you name it, or more to the point, stab it, and they'll all fall to you.
Why are you giving this to me?
In part so that it won't tempt me, and so that you can cut through the zombies who will come for you tonight.
He took Nick's hand and laid his palm over the center of the dagger.
Close your eyes, and imagine it the size of a pocket knife.
Do what?
Trust me, Nick.
Nick did as he said, and the moment he had the image in his mind, the dagger shrank. Gasping, he opened his eyes to see it no longer than his index finger. Ambrose handed him the sheath for it, which was a matching size.
You can carry it with you anywhere you go. To make it bigger, just imagine the size you want it. It can be a sword, a dagger, or a knife.
Are you serious?
He nodded.
It'll even go through airport security. No creature or machine will ever detect it.
How is that possible?
That familiar sadness returned to Ambrose's face.
I'm going to show you things you never thought possible. Show you a world you never dreamed existed. And for that, I'm sorry. But it has to be done, and better I show it to you than you learn it the way I had to.
It was obvious from his words and demeanor that he was a summa cum laude graduate from the school of massive groin kicks, and as Nick watched him stare at his dozing mother, he couldn't help wondering one thing. How old are you? Ambrose sighed before he answered.
I've lived hundreds of years.
Nick gaped in awe. Ambrose didn't look a day over 24. Was it really possible to live that long? Then again, Ash had. And with that thought came another one, that he was dying to know, even though in his gut he already had a good idea of what the answer was.
What about my dad? How old is he?
Because right now, Nick was going to bet he wasn't the mid-30s he appeared to be, either. Ambrose took his mother's hand into his and held it to his heart.
Much, much older than I am.
He'd suspected it, but the truth hit him like a cheap gut shot. He tried to imagine what it would be like to live through centuries. It had to be a lot of fun, and extremely lonely.
Will I live that long?